Well, there you are. That was my tonic every morning, my pill. I used to play this, and then I'd go out into the day, and I'd have that song in my mind, you know, that he's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. Because the news was bad. Every day it was getting worse, and hundreds of people were being taken to hospital, and thousands of people were dying. And I just remembered this all the time. This was it. And, you know, the COVID pandemic has caused a great hardship for many people. It's caused a lot of suffering and a lot of difficulties, a lot of bereavements. It's broken up families. It's interfered with education. It has caused problems in employment. It's even succeeded in closing down churches all over our land. And you know, in the history of our country in the past 1,000 years, there's only been one ever other time when the churches of our land were closed down. And that wasn't in the war. The wars didn't do it. It was when one of the popes decided to excommunicate this country, excommunicate a king, and he told all the priests in the land that they were not allowed to open the churches, so nobody could get married, no one could get buried, no one could take communion, there were no services, only once before in history. So I believe that when you speak about COVID, you're speaking about a very evil thing. And I must impress on you that I'm going to say a few things now which are my personal feelings, okay? And then I'll get into my sermon in a second, okay? So let me give you one or two things that people have said to me about COVID, okay? One of the things that people have said to me is that it's a conspiracy. Have you heard that? Yeah, it's a way of controlling us. Well, I must say I can't really agree with that. But I try to understand where these people are coming from and what's behind their thoughts. But I don't feel in my heart it's a conspiracy. I've heard a lot of people say, they come up to me and they said, I don't need a vaccination. I'm just trusting God. I believe that he's given us a good immune system and there's no need for us to have any injections. Now, I wouldn't agree with that because although I have got a fairly good immune system, I still pick up colds and flu and all those sort of things. And my immune system has been affected by the fall of man. That's why I'm getting old. And that's why, you know, life comes to an end. And it's the same with our immune system. Now, I have got a paper here. James, you know, is my son, works in Exeter. And he did an article for the local village, COVID-19. It was an article for the village magazine, The Scene, and he explains what COVID and the vaccination is and how they worked out the vaccination. It's very simple, and he signed it off at the bottom by his own name. James Moore is an immunization nurse specialist and currently involved in the Exeter University COVID Brace trial. Now, if anybody wants to read it, if anybody has any problems in that way, they would like to read this. It's very simple, but it's helpful, okay? I'll leave it, and if there isn't enough, I can always print more off for that. So, yeah, I had the vaccination. One person said to me, they think it's the Antichrist. Well, I don't think so, but I think Satan could be behind this. I really believe that. Somebody said to me, we are living in the last days. And yes, I would agree with them. And even in the scriptures that we read this morning, that would back that thought up. Someone said to me, it's God's judgment on us. Now, we have to be careful when we talk about, and when we make statements like this. when God sends judgment on people or a nation, he always sends warnings beforehand for the people to have the opportunity to repent. But I do believe in my heart that God could be allowing this to happen, and God could be using this to give his people a wake-up call. It's a time when we are finding out, you know, who's the sheep and who's the goats, aren't we? Yeah? Have I got time to tell you a little story here? A very, very quick story, okay? This was back in communist Russia. Do you remember communist Russia? That was our era when we were teenagers and we lived in fear of the Russians invading us and all that. It was in those days when church was not allowed in Russia. And a church Baptist gathering, I was reading about this, meeting in a church, and there was, you know, 80 to 100 people there, and in burst two armed militiamen, okay, police, with their machine guns. And they said, this service has to stop. Those of you who are not really interested, get up and go now. And most of the congregation got up and went. And then they said, if you are not sure of what you believe, and if you don't really believe this, get up and go. And more got up and went. And there was only left after a while just a handful of people, 10 people. And the guards shut the door and they sat down and they said, right, we know that you are real Christians. Tell us, how do we become a Christian? Do you see? Yeah, the testing time. And I think this could be a testing time for us as Christians. Our witness, the way that we are responding to this pandemic and what we are saying to people. It's a wonderful opportunity for Christian witness. So, life has been very hard for a lot of people over the past 18 months. And we've heard a lot of people make lots of comments, and I used to speak to people as they went past our place, because, you know, I got a front garden cutting the grass. We wanted to let it out, but people would walk past with the dogs, and you would say hello and keep your distance. And in fact, actually, I used to say to them in a lot of ways, when they used to start moaning, I said, we are blessed with this, because we're not short of food, are we? We don't have guns and bombs going off around us. None of our menfolk have had to go off to war. So although we've been inconvenienced, in a lot of ways, we've been blessed. It's not like we're living in Afghanistan or living in Syria or some of these countries where it's terrible. The worst thing or hardship that I've heard people moan about most of all is that they can't go abroad for a holiday. And that seems to be the main item on their agenda. When can I go abroad? And I say to them, well, my mother and father hardly ever went on holiday. And if they went as far as Weston-super-Mare, they thought they went the other side of the world. You know? But there we are. But I believe that this COVID situation has been a wonderful opportunity for Christians to stand out and to witness. But one of my sadnesses is that church leaders didn't take the opportunity to call our nation to prayer. I think that would have been a wonderful witness. That would have been tremendous if the Archbishop or the Prime Minister or the Queen said, we're going to meet and we're going to pray about this and pray away. And if people said, well, it doesn't make any difference, prayers, I tell you, when people pray, it may not alter the situation always, but it alters you. And I think it would have altered our nation. And I was disappointed, right? So that's all my personal feelings about it. You may agree with me, and you may not. You can come and say to me afterwards, I don't agree with you, and I promise you, you know, I won't argue with you, because it's very personal what we think at this time. But I want to just talk to you about two stories from the Bible, which I think may be a help at this time. And the first story I want to talk to you about is that we go back to the Old Testament, and we go back to a man called Job. Do you remember Job? Yeah? Most people know Job because we use the expression the patience of Job, don't we? If anybody here has got a lot of patience, you've got the patience of Job. But the story of Job is an incredible story, actually. And if you get time to read and study the book, it's a wonderful book to look at. Now, Job was a very, very wealthy man, okay? He was a billionaire of his time. He had huge wealth. There are people like that nowadays. And even in the days of Job, Job was one of these people. It says in chapter 1, you read all about him. He was a very, very wealthy man. He had it says that he was the richest man in the entire area. And he also had a lovely family, a big family. A glittering family, a very united family, and children, and they used to meet together and have feasts and parties and celebrations and all those things. The authorized version refers to him as the greatest man in the East. And if you look at chapter 1, you find out how he was described. He was described as blameless. He led an innocent life, the sort of man you would want to do business with, the sort of man you would want to buy a second-hand car from. He was a man that feared God and stayed away from evil. This is the sort of man Job was. You know, a little question here is, how many people fear God nowadays? People don't. People use God's name as a blasphemous word, don't you? When things go wrong, what do? They blaspheme. They use God's name. A curse sometimes. Nobody's got any fear of God these days. And even if you're a Christian, you know, we are very often our great buddies with God, aren't we? We treat him as the man next door. And we've sort of lost that awe and respect. And that fear of God, even within our Christian communities. You know, years ago, I was talking to somebody this week. People used to look forward to Sunday and going to church. We used to look forward. She said, I always used to look forward to dressing up, putting on my best and going to church. And she said, I loved it. It was our life, you know. And we enjoyed it. And we had good teaching in church. And we enjoyed the preacher. But you see, nowadays, if you don't feel like it in the morning, don't go to church. Stay home. Do what you like. You know, and it's very sad to think that we've lost all that respect and all that awness and reverence of God in these days. And you know, one of the things that you get in the book of Job is the fact that, you know, if you have a fear of God, you stay away from evil. And that would be very good for a nation. If a nation feared God, there would be a lot less evil in the nation. Also, he loved his family. He was a family man, and he used to get up each morning and offer a sacrifice for his children in case, you know, at the parties, things went a bit adrift and they sinned, and it says that they may have cursed God in their hearts. Well, in short, what a lesson for us, you know, to be praying for our children. So Job was a blameless and an upright man, a man of integrity, who trusted in God. And he trusted in God as his Redeemer. You know, there's four characteristics which stand out about Job, which I'm not going to preach on, but he was blameless, he was upright, he feared God, and he shunned evil. Now, wouldn't that be fantastic if that was said of each one of us, of each Christian today? Do you know, those people that go to Aberdeen Baptist, they're blameless. You know, there's no gossip. There's nothing connected to them. There's no scandal connected to them. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if they said, probably you are, but you know, those people go to Aberdeen Baptist, those Christians, they're upright. You know, I'd buy anything off of them because I know they wouldn't do me a deal, a bad deal. You know, isn't that lovely when people say that? You know, those people, they have a real fear of God, because when you see them, and they go to church, they are reverent. And they shun evil. You won't get them involved in anything going on which isn't right. You see the difference it would make. Well, that was Job's life. That was, if we could apply it to our lives, how fantastic that would be. But a lot of people said, well, the reason why Job is so wealthy is because God's blessed him. And that's why Job loves God. And of course, it came a test then, didn't there? Overnight, circumstances changed. And he lost everything. Devastation on a humongous scale happened to him. Everything went. His family, his possessions, his wealth. Everything overnight. His life was changed. Do you know, there are people who have had experiences like that. When overnight, their lives have been completely changed. But you know, in all that, it says here in the last verse of chapter 1, in all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. He didn't blame God for it. He didn't blame God. And it takes me to the thought. And this is a very sort of deep theological problem. And, you know, I couldn't deal with it here of a morning like this. But it takes me to the thought that sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives to test us. To see what happens to us. To see how we cope. What are witnesses like? Do we just love him when things are going good in our lives? Or do we love him even when things go wrong? Why does he love it? You know, I don't know. And one day, you know, we will find out. We know the situation. See, I had a brother who died when he was 8 years old, of leukemia. And that was in 1951. You know, why? You know, and it brought devastation to our family. You know, my father was never right after that, losing a son. And, you know, it affected me. But why? You know, we don't know. But I tell you one thing. Mother never lost her faith. That was the incredible thing. She never lost her faith. All her life. And she lived to 85. And yet it broke her. Naturally it would. So, you know, I'm reminded of that song, a new song, which, you know, we'll sing if I'm asked back again one day. Every blessing, do you know these words? You pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, still I will say, what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, and that's it, isn't it? You know, we're going through this COVID time, my friends. And you may be struggling. You may be struggling. You may find it difficult. You may find that there are people who are struggling. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. You need to be saying in your heart, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Be like Job. Be like Job. So, we have to build ourselves up for this, don't we? For these situations. And I'm going to just finish by telling you another story from the New Testament. Not long. Easy little story, as you remember. Two men who built two houses, remember? One on the sand, one on the rock. On the sand, it was easy. On the rock, it was hard work. And we celebrated our 50th anniversary, wedding anniversary, and we couldn't have a party. We were going to invite you all to come and have a cream tea and all that, but of course we couldn't. And so we just had the family, and we had a weekend of nonsense games and those sort of things, and Edward organized it for us. And one of the games was we had to go down on the beach, Westwood Old Beach, and build two big sandcastles. And the higher we could build them, the better. And I had to stand on one, and Carolyn had to stand on the other. And we had to wait till the tide came in and see who stood the longest. And Carolyn was standing on hers, but she didn't notice that the tide came up around the back of her and moved the sand. And of course, she went back plonk in the water. You know, but it was good fun. But you know the difference, don't you? But if you build on rock, if you put a solid foundation down, it's hard work. You've got to get on with it. Sand, building on sand is easy, it's fun, it's enjoyable, but it won't stand. Well, friends, it's a simple illustration. But how do we build up our spiritual lives so when these situations come along, when COVID comes along, when different disasters and events come into our lives, how can we build ourselves up to stand in those days? Well, this is what I'm going to tell you. Very simple, you know. We build up our spiritual lives simply by reading our Bibles. Do you read your Bible regular? Do you read the Bible? Do you keep the Bible with you night times before you go to sleep? Ever read? Or read your Bible and you'll find it will build you up. You go to church. Church is important. It's important for you to come here because you meet with fellowship. You hear preaching. You hear ministry. It builds you up. You spend time worshipping. You get good Christian fellowship. That's a way, because you build each other up. You go to Bible study. You listen to good tapes. You join a house group. you learn as much as you can about God. You open your life to Him. You trust Him in all the simple things in life. You talk with Him. You talk with Him as He's your friend. You know, when you're going through the day, it's good. You don't have to always have a prayer time. They said to one of the great evangelists, I can't think of his name. He had a funny name, but it'll come to me in a minute. A great Pentecostal man. Some people said, how long do you spend in prayer? And he said, I don't think I've ever spent a quarter of an hour in prayer. But he said, I've never gone a quarter of an hour without praying. Do you see the difference? Yeah? You're talking to the Lord, you know? I might just do this, Lord. Is this right? Oh, I just seen Mrs. So-and-so walking down. Her husband's very poorly. Lord, will you remember her? And you see a beautiful sight. Lord, this is absolutely wonderful. I praise you for this lovely sight. This lovely view. You know, all so simple, isn't it? But that's living. That's it. That's it. You have to put some effort into it. You have to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what the Bible says. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Building yourself up spiritually. And I'm going to finish now. God, I've said enough. But let me just say this. Bad news to finish with. You know, I don't believe things are going to get easier. I don't think things are going to get easier, according to Scripture. You only have to look at the world. We were looking at the news last night, and Carolyn just said, whatever's happening, there's problems. There's fire in Turkey, and then there's floods. All sorts of things, isn't there? All over the world. Fighting. You know? Things are not going to get better. So we must build ourselves up so that we can stand. We can stand. And we'll be firm on the rock. And then when Jesus comes, we'll be ready for him. Right, sing a song to finish. I'm sorry if I've gone on. Please forgive me. This is a lovely old song. I don't know if you know it, but it's easy to pick up. It's very easy to pick up.